Welcome to Paradigm Shifters. Today, I'm Veronica Entwistle, and I'm going to be chatting with a good friend named Linda Sherman, who's a wizard of astrology, and she knows why all kinds of things are being messed up these days, and it has something to do with the heavens. So welcome to the show, Linda Sherman, my favorite soothsayer.
Oh, thank you, Veronica. It's always a pleasure to be on your show. Thank you very much.
It's a pleasure to talk with you. But Linda, you and I know things are really strange out there. And I'm not quite sure how to start, what question to ask you. But why don't I let you just start with what's... I guess we could talk about a number of things like the weather, the politics, people's health, the end of the world, the universe. There's some good stuff's going on in the universes. So why don't you start with whatever you think is the most manageable, or is any of it?
Well, I don't think any of it is that manageable. I think most of it is just that we have to stand back, take a deep breath, calm ourselves, and recognize that there is a greater consciousness. The universe is, we have access to that greater consciousness in the universe, and we have to keep our psyches there while all the crazy stuff goes on. We are literally, and many astrologers and other people have talked about this particular period of time, that we're at the end of the 2100-year cycle from Pisces into Aquarius.
Oh,
we're at the end of a 12,000-year cycle, which is an ice age cycle. We're at the end of a 26,000-year cycle. I could go on and on, but the Mayan calendar cycle that we talked a lot about 2012, when in actuality that calendar system ended in 2017.
Oh, wow.
And that's a 5,200-year cycle. And all of these cycles, which produce dramatic changes, they produce changes here on Earth in climates. They produce massive changes because climates are connected with economies. They produce massive changes in consciousness, most of all. And there, that we have to remember that all of us as individuals are tied in with these universal cycles so that we, each of us as individuals, have to make a decision about how we're going to confront the things that need to be confronted, the issues. It's all about facing things rather than escaping from them. And there's a proclivity in human life to want to escape.
Hey, I noticed that. Well, I want to ask you one question. Do you think that, I mean, just thinking of the massive numbers of people, for example, are we kind of primed through lifetimes to be able to accept these challenges and to make sort of smarter decisions? Or are we just sort of stumbling blindly? You know what I mean? Do we have the innate wisdom?
Well, you know, I go back to Charles Darwin, a great Aquarian, by the way, interestingly enough, who was born the same birth date and year as Abraham Lincoln.
Really?
And these were arguably two of the greatest, most profoundly influential people of the 19th century.
Okay.
And they were both Aquarians.
Wow.
I go back to this and saying that, in a sense, the survival of the fittest, it comes into play here. But by being fit, it doesn't necessarily mean you're a big ape-like creature that knocks down trees. In this era, the Aquarian age, it has to do with being open-minded, intelligent, willing to face truths that we need to face today about tremendous social inequities, the damage that fossil fuel has done to the global climate, how we are going to change the way we live and think, and how we're going to be in an Aquarian cycle, work as a team together, as humanity respects individual rights, but works together in teams and groups to bring about a better Earth. And in order to do that, we absolutely, number one, have to get off of fossil fuel. And because that has really been a human product that we all know now, the climate catastrophes that I frankly predicted in my three books. Mm-hmm. The first one was 2007, the second 2012, and the third one 2017.
I want to interrupt you and say your title, What's Next, is brilliant.
Yes, the first one was called What Next, A Survival Guide to the 21st Century. Yeah. And what I tried to do in these was look at the astrology that frames issues and themes that we have to face and deal with and work with, combined with the science. And I kept track of the climatologists and the oceanographers and what they were saying. Also, at the same time that goes along with climate, always goes along with economics. They are absolutely connected to each other. And the third thing is social equity or inequity, equal opportunities for people or not. And we're in a time where there is not equal opportunity for people, where the climate catastrophes are heading in, and the economy is completely out of, we have a huge, we have the billionaire class of what I call banksters and giant billionaire, trillionaire wealth controls most of the wealth in the world today.
Talk about oligarchs, eh?
Yes. Some people call it the oligarchs. There's different names for the same thing. But in this country alone, the upper 10% controls more than 80% of this country's wealth.
Yikes.
And that is the rest of the 20% is left for the rest of us. And we've seen this. We've seen how property has been bought up by that class of people, the price of it raised to both rent and buy, making it extremely difficult. The college loans, that whole business of creating a system where college and university education is so expensive that kids have to take out loans. And it's not unusual for a college graduate to graduate college with $100,000 to $150,000 worth of debt that he or she starts a life with, and on and on and on. We have these social economic inequities. We have a dominance of oil and gas companies who have influenced the media, who have influenced the banks, who have influenced the, and we talk about the people are, the Republicans complain about we're giving this money to solar and windmill technologies. Well, the oil companies have been reimbursed by the government for, you know, 75 years, the oil and gas industry has been getting giant subsidies from the federal government that far exceed anything that has gone to develop clean energy. But besides all of that, we are in a real cycle. Most of the rest of the world is worse off than we are here in the United States because the climate is devastated. Most of the countries in the continent of Africa, it hurting India, hurting Central and South America, and severe droughts, massive floods. These nations are taking it, are having a lot worse effects than even we are here in the United States, and they have less money and less technology to deal. Now, some people would say to me, Linda, this sounds terrible. I'm just going to stick my head under my binky and call it a day. although I believe in the binky very strongly and periodically use that myself, I am looking and have been looking for a long time to solutions instead of just self-pity and saying, oh my God, you know, this is, we can't do anything.
Right.
One of the biggest solutions to climate issues happens to be hydrogen nuclear fusion.
Mm.
And I've been talking about this in my books and on this show for quite a few years, and most people haven't believed in it or haven't really understood it or believe that it's way into the future. And we've got all of these nuclear fusion sites now up and running and producing fusion, but they have to be able to produce what's called ignition, which means that they put out more energy than they used to create the fusion.
Okay.
And that has happened twice now at Livermore Laboratories in California. And there's Helion in Washington State, where you live, which has developed fusion and knows how to hook up the fusion energy to our present infrastructure.
Hmm.
And for the past 4 or 5 years, I've been publishing or referring to articles in Scientific American and Science News about the development of fusion. And the different ways they're doing it, and they're making a tremendously speeded up progress in this since you and I first started talking about it a number of years ago. And I believe that by 2026, we're going to have at least one, if not multiple, chambers operating, producing fusion, producing energy, which is no pollution, infinite amounts of energy, is the holy grail, and will end the age of fossil fuel.
Thank
and
you, God.
And this will be the biggest breakthrough. Everybody talks about AI being the biggest breakthrough. Well, AI has been going on since the internet began in the late 80s, early 90s. It's just expanded. We have no AI. We have no computers. We have no anything without clean, ongoing energy.
Mm-hmm.
So fusion is vastly more important for anything else that we do on this planet, whether we stay together as a civilization, because energy is what ties us together as a civilization. So number one, I feel that by 2026, we're going to see this really happening. And the billionaire class now has caught on. The government has put a certain amount of money into these and some private money. Well, now the billionaire class is starting to make substantial donations to these fusion sites. So they are seeing the handwriting on the wall. So when that will be when we can stop polluting the planet. It will be too late for many parts of the world, which will be either underwater or turned to deserts. So the consequences of climate change will still be with us long after this solution happens. But at least we will know what to do. We also are going to have to substantially change our economic systems and paradigms. We cannot go longer with just a handful of people controlling most of the world's wealth and misusing their control over it. So we have to deal with more systems. I feel a balance between entrepreneurial capitalism and social support, government finance, social support systems is the answer. Instead of this ongoing battle between the right and the left, let's come to the middle and say that we need a balance between both of those. Right,
I want to interrupt one thing, and the thing that bothers me the most about whether it's right, left, up or down, is the lying. We seem to be okay with all these incredible lies so that we're duped. We have no idea what's going on sometimes.
I agree with you completely, Veronica. I absolutely agree on all points about the lying and the cheating and the misinformation and the disinformation.
What and they do it on purpose, you know?
Yeah. Well, I want to say this, that we have to look a little back in history. I mean, there's always been what you would call yellow journalism all the way through the past several centuries in the news. The newspapers and the magazines and the things that preceded television and online stuff and the internet and everything. But there were laws which regulated this until 1986/87,
right,
when the Congress passed a law that deregulated the media and said they no longer had to tell the truth. And a lot of people don't realize this went on in the 1980s, but it did. they said you no longer control anything that's said over the media, no more standards for telling the truth, no more penalties for lying. And that actually happened underneath people's noses, and it was at that point that all of this stuff on TV and radio and everything, they started this whole thing, and now on the internet and things going viral that are horrible, and then Twitter and social media where anybody could say anything and get away with it. And I hate to bring it up, but Fox News, who has lied about everything across the board and created mass hatred of everything. And now we have a nation that is having a massive temper tantrum.
But isn't it true, Linda, that during the rise of Hitler and even the earlier than the First World War, that disinformation was used consciously to separate people to keep us weaker so that we would follow whatever?
Exactly, because everywhere where there were no regulators, no government entities that said you have to be held to the truth or you could be sued or you could be fined, every nation that did not have those in place. In fact, the planetary pictures, Uranus right now, for instance, has returned to the position it was in the rise of the Third Reich in Germany.
Oh, boy.
I pointed out Pluto is in the position where it was in the Protestant Reformation in Europe and in the American Revolution. And then as it goes into Aquarius, when we won the American Revolution and we had the French Revolution and we had the Industrial Revolution. So we are in a revolutionary period, and we're experiencing a return of Uranus to where it was when Hitler and the Third Reich rose in Germany using mass propaganda. He was the first one to use movies. Leni Riefenstahl was his woman that produced these movies about the superiority and greatness of the Third Reich and how it was going to take over the world, and this kind of propaganda. So we are re-experiencing what we say deja vu all over again. We're re-experiencing these kinds of times, but they don't come out of nowhere. People genuinely, for quite a few years now, I would say 40, 50 years, have felt this inequity, have felt that they lost their chances of climbing up economically and educationally. They have seen the imbalance. They have seen things happen, but they don't know who did it or where it came from. So they became very subject, just like in at the end of World War One in Germany, which was a devastated country, and Hitler says, we're going to make Germany great again. The people over here felt kind of devastated, and they didn't know who did it to them or why, so they started to turn their hatred on the government. They turned their hatred on people of different races, religions, and ethnic groups, and especially immigrants. We're going to hate all those people and blame them for what happened to us. But the problem is that the big us never investigated how it all happened and who really did it to them. Mm-hmm. So they're busy hating each other, fighting each other, and now you have a situation where the lies are monumental, where we have a former president that stands up and lies through his teeth about everything on an ongoing basis.
And has a whole mob of supporters.
Has a whole mob of supporters, and the more the government comes in and indicts him, and they don't indict you on no evidence. They have plenty of evidence for what they're accusing him of and indicting him about. But the public, his base, mainly in the Republican Party, hate the government so much, or hate any kind of governance, any kind of authority, any kind of expertise at all, including the scientists, by the way, mm-hmm. and people of that nature. They just are out hating everybody, and he is like a cult figure. Reminds mm-hmm. me of the Jim Jones cult mm-hmm. In 1980 that drank the Kool-Aid and committed mass suicide. That this is how most cults end. They usually end in suicidal self-destruction. Mm-hmm. And this
That's so for Hitler as well, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Hitler, Mussolini, Tocco, these dictators that arose in the 20th century and fought us in World War II, mm-hmm. that kind of presence is now here with us in America in the 21st century. And we have to face it and deal with it and correct our course if we're going to survive.
Well, can I ask you something astrologically? As I asked you something about the ongoing flows for thousands of years, because you told us about these basic huge periods of time that kind of encapsulated certain changes. Have we, as a species, are we developing more purification? Are we developing more integrity? Are we developing more respect for life, all of life? I don't mean just people, you know, is it always the same, you know?
I don't think it's all. There are some people that I speak to, very, very intelligent people whose opinions I respect, that say this is just human nature that we're stuck with. It's we're never going to really change. See, I do not believe that.
I don't either. I don't want to anyway.
I've seen too many wonderful people who are brilliant, who are dedicating themselves to scientific research, to political science and economics, and trying to figure things out. As I said, Darwinism. Mm-hmm. In a sense, ultimately, those kinds of people who can figure out new economic systems, how to create housing in places that are more immune from the terrible climate disasters, and how to set up communities so that we can feed ourselves and use fresh water locally in a sustainable way, sustainable life voluntarily, and communities reconnecting with each other. It's really, I know that there are intentional communities. Here where I live in Ithaca, we have an intentional, environmentally sustainable community here in Ithaca of about 100 families that live here. It's the largest intentional community in the country. And they've been able, but they run into the same problems governing themselves that all humans have, resent of authority, arguing with each other. We're going through a very stormy time. And mm-hmm. it is so important that people who have the capacities, the intelligence, the background, can somehow start working on new ways of life, a sustainable way of life, because I think those that survive all of this hopefully will be a new species of human. That's how far I think this is going to go.
I think
it's
that's
going
right.
to be a new human that is quite different physiologically, intellectually, and spiritually than what we have mm-hmm. today. We may be, the new person may be as far from what we normally see today as we are from when we stopped being apes and became humans. Mm-hmm. So I really do see an evolutionary leap that will be taking place. And there will be young people born into the world that are so in advance. You know, I'd like to use an analogy.
Please.
To this, that way back when humans were hunter-gatherers or small tribes wandering the earth and everything, there was somebody that was born into the world with a higher level intelligence and for the first time could actually see color. Mm-hmm. There's evidence to support that original humans only saw black, white, and gray. That we
didn't really?
Of color, yes. So that some man or woman or boy or girl or something was born seeing color. Now, how could that person have a conversation with their families or their tribes or whatever and describe something that nobody else could see? Veronica.
Uh-huh, that's a wonderful analogy.
Mm-hmm. I think this is an analogy that young people, kids are going to be born into this world that see their lives and nature and the world at large differently. They're going to have a much higher level of intelligence, a more broad spectrum of thought. They hopefully will be less attached to the limbic system, which is the fright-flight level of the brain that is filled with fear and greed and all of this, that that new kind of species, you could call them superhuman, I think is on its way. That's my feeling.
And I have that feeling. I told you that I feel like we're being impressed to evolve, and it's coming through a lot of people. My guidance says it's probably a third of people that are activating that. And the other thing the guides keep saying is nurturing is our greatest tool.
Yes, I couldn't agree with you more.
And doesn't that sound simple?
It is, but it seems to be so difficult in this world that we're in today. People seem to have forgotten about that. But nurturing of families, friends, neighborhoods, communities, caring about each other.
Well, and it lost respect. They were trying to get out of the home or something. But it lost a lot of respect. But it's the only way we're going to survive. You talk about sustainability. Isn't that nurturing?
Exactly true. You're nurturing yourselves, and you're also nurturing life on this planet.
Yes.
That kind of attitude. And I think with the kind of emotional attitude or development that wants to nurture, that wants to help, that wants things to get better, will give birth to the solutions in science and technology, which I feel big solutions are coming up in the very near future.
In quantum leaps. Quantum leaps, yes. Right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. In 2025, 2026, in that area, Uranus will go into Gemini, Pluto will go into Aquarius, and Neptune will go into Aries. All three of those outer ring planets are going to be changing signs. And interestingly enough, the last time Uranus was in Gemini, and recently the movie Oppenheimer has come out.
Oh, that's a wonderful movie. It's a wonderful movie.
It's a masterpiece. Masterpiece.
It is.
And Uranus was in Gemini when we invented the atomic bomb,
okay,
which ended World War II. It was devastating. It was a terrible weapon, but it ended. And the United States went into the greatest economic expansion in its history because it subsidized people to get an education and housing and everything. It put itself into that kind of arena. Now, my feeling is this time around, hopefully it won't be like a terrible nuclear weapon that we use on somebody. This time that was fission. This is going to be fusion. Nuclear fusion, which, by the way, is used in the hydrogen bomb. And Livermore Lab in California originally made the hydrogen bomb. So,
oh my God.
And now it's created a nuclear fusion chamber to create massive amounts of energy. So this is one of the reasons I'm predicting that in that time period, we are actually going to have it. We're actually going to have ongoing ignition. And once we have it in one of the sites, because there are a lot of sites throughout the world, including the UK and France, and we have the one in Massachusetts connected with the MIT geniuses, and we have these chambers that are developing this technology as we speak and have made tremendous progress in the past 4 or 5 years. So that when that Uranus returns to that position, also it's going to, Pluto is going into Aquarius, which will really, really initiate the Aquarian age, which we are already in just at the beginning of it. We're still dealing with Pisces issues. But Pluto will be in Aquarius and will really initiate that age of breakthrough technologies, inventions. The last time it was there, these revolutions were fought, including the Industrial Revolution, including what they called the Age of Enlightenment.
Oh, wow.
So the potential for this is very great. But there's got to be major changes in leadership in the world from what we have now,
mm-hmm,
all around, because otherwise, we could enter a terrible, massively destructive war,
mm-hmm,
between the United States and its allies and China and Russia we could enter a World War III. I don't think that's going to happen, but that's the potential under these kinds of aspects.
Well, I like to think about the evolving that we are, and you've spoken about it. There are periods of time when we're this way and that, and surely there are impulses coming up when the things are changing over that could be more gracious, that could be more mutually nurturing and so on, right?
Absolutely, and I think that as bad as the world leadership is today on many levels, they still know that it's not a smart thing to do to unleash a weapon of mass destruction when your opponent has something equal or worse to what you have. So this notion of mutually assured mass destruction that was on during the Cold War years that kept Russia and the United States from unleashing a nuclear weapon on one another is still very much there. But there's got to be ways that various nations can reframe their economies and that we can work together in new ways. And new leadership is definitely required. We desperately need new leadership in this country and in the world at large, desperately need enlightened new leaders to come forth. And there is a very good chance that in that period of time coming up, 2025, 2026, in that area, that we're going to see an array of new young leaders come forth, but certainly breakthroughs in science. We're going to see medicine breakthroughs in biogenetic engineering, CRISPR technology, which alters genes. We're going to see breakthroughs in medicine and science, not just in nuclear fusion, but in so many other areas. It's going to be quite spectacular, and we may be able to solve a lot of how we are going to live while these massive climate things, catastrophes take place. Where are we going to go? How are we going to manage ourselves? What kind of housing are we going to build? How can we live sustainably? How can we help each other in relocalize and help each other in local communities instead of neighbor always being suspicious of their neighbor and not having anything to do with each other, which has really been a kind of a long-term thing that's been going on in this country for quite a few years.
It's brutal. It's brutal, yeah. Mm-hmm. And also,
it's really weird.
I think the fear of history and the fear of education in this country is really ridiculous, too.
Yeah. Well, it seems as if the less educated seem to be angry at the more educated. Instead of saying we need more education, we need to get together and find out what we can do here, there's just a kind of tribal hostility toward those not only who have more education, but different races and religions and different philosophies. And instead of saying, let's get together and talk about things, let's train, educate ourselves, mm-hmm. there is more of a resentment of other people who do not see the world the way you do, mm-hmm. in a kind of a tribal hostility oriented way. That has got to change, because that's going to take itself down. Mm-hmm. People are just going to fight each other to the end, you know, with that philosophy. No, there will be no winners with that philosophy.
Well, and some of us are so excited about, for example, I like to think about the evolution of our species and so on, and I keep hearing their various things about the shifting energy and the dynamics of our ability to use quantum energy or whatever. And I get so excited, but some people are resistant as heck, and they want to stop that because they feel, I think, less than or inferior. You know, I don't know what it is, but I think I'm saying the same as you, but I'm just trying to pinpoint some of the reasons for it, which is...
Yeah, I agree with you.
Yeah,
absolutely.
It's a comparison, isn't it?
Yes. When we look at what physics, quantum theories are doing today, are so outrageously different than anything that we have seen.
No.
For instance, the theory of entanglement.
Isn't that wonderful?
Separate atomic particles from each other that have a coordinated spin. and you separate them, put them far apart, they retain their coordinated spin with each other. And it suggests a unity and a connection in the universe at that level, which, of course, substantiates what we astrologers feel, that we're connected mm-hmm. to the planets, to the stars. We're connected by being energy units to the energy waves that are made in the universe at large, that we're made of cosmic dust. We are made of the explosions, novas, the wild universe that we are more and more observing out there with the greater telescopes that we now have the technology. And I think that what is significant is we're discovering at that quantum level that we are all connected, mm-hmm. that maybe there is a unified field that Einstein was looking for, but more or less a unity in the universe, even though it is constantly changing and exploding, destroying, and like Shiva, destroying and then giving birth to something new, that there are these connections. And if we can bring that around and realize how connected everything is, how connected we all are, if we can see ourselves that way, we're much less likely to want to kill each other or shoot each other in a shopping mall or whatever. The change in consciousness here has to be intellectual, it has to be emotional, and it has to be spiritual at all those levels in order for humankind to survive and move on in a new form on planet Earth.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. And this shooting them up in the malls and stuff, I think it's just such a desperate madness about, I feel disempowered, I feel angry, I want to get even, I feel resistant. I don't think it's logical, is it?
No, well, you know, it's funny because those, the kind of people who I think they're mostly have some form of mental illness, they have, since early childhood, there have been things the matter and no one has listened to them. They may have problems in school or with families or everybody's story. I'd love to see somebody put all together these people who have been convicted of these kinds of mass shootings to do a survey of who they are, their backgrounds. What is it that these people have in common with each other that turns them into killers like this?
I wonder if that's being done. I think it might be. What do you think?
I think somebody will write a book about it. Mm-hmm. I do. I think somebody is going to do this. It would be a very, if it comes out, I'll be the first to read it. Mm-hmm. But I would say that they have had early childhood developmental problems that no one listened to. Mm-hmm. They learning disabilities and emotional problems and things that went on in the family, which were destructive. And then they go to school and they feel hopeless in school. They can't do what is asked of them. So they want to get revenge on the school. And there are kids who will burn down their schools because they feel they have literally been tortured and persecuted their entire academic life because they couldn't make any headway in that environment and no one listened to them. So, you know, there are all of these things that could be going on because these are mostly young people and mostly young men that are doing this. And there are things that are going on that led them to, but not everybody who is disgruntled is necessarily going to buy a gun and shoot up a shopping mall either.
No, that's true.
So there is always that factor, but I just feel the media goes on and on and on about all this, and no one is having a really in-depth conversation about these things.
Yeah, I agree.
Have
you listened to David Hogg, who came from the Parkland shooting? Remember that?
No, I haven't.
Well, he's giving talks all over the country now from that period of time, which was the first big school shooting.
And, right.
And these kids just launched and they started going out and talking. Well, they're now trying to get into the legislature. And they're
I seem to remember seeing something on the news about this, how these kids have organized. They're trying to take guns off the market.
Yeah, if you listen to him, I think you would just wiggle around with glee because he's so steady and so intelligent and so sensitive. And so, like with a bigger point of view, not like I'm right and you're wrong. It's more like we have to look at the society. You know, it's really interesting. And I heard it.
Well, and I think this is great. This is where solutions from people like him and the organization around him, this is where the answers are going to come. This is from especially young people. They're going.
Yeah, I think he's under 30. I think he's under 30. You know.
Yeah, I really do have a great deal of faith in many of these young people coming up and what they are going to be able to do, to change the world. Certainly change us over here and come up with these solutions. But, you know, to me, they're all they have a central thing in common, and that is that the changes that are going on all levels, number one, economic, environmental, and social in our society, people have difficulty facing them with old models and old ideas and ideals that are not relevant now. In fact, they get in the way of our discovering answers and solutions. And hopefully we have a new generation of wonderful young people. Mm-hmm. I know some of them in my family and friends that will be moving us all ahead. And I really have high hopes for this.
They have a loving innocence about them, too, which means like I know how to grow and become rather than hate and be divisive. Is that right? That's how I'm perceiving it anyway.
Absolutely. I think what they want to do, I mean, they have been taught that ruthless capitalism with no modification or interference with it at all, dog-eat-dog materialism, get as rich as you can, as fast as you can, is the American dream, however you do it. And they're thinking, how can we have a decent economic system without having that philosophy dominate everything? Mm-hmm. This is because you've got to look at it through the realm of economics. If we ignore all of us idealists, including myself included, that would love just to ignore the basic economics and the systems that we have, we'll never get anything done until we address that. How do we survive? How do we provide for ourselves and our families? How do we have decent housing and decent food and communities? Unless we can break the cycle of what we're in right now, we're not going to get anywhere on any other level. That's my feeling.
And I think the respect for change, respect for evolution has got to come up. But I know it sounds like a cliche, but I'm going, doesn't have to be the way it was. You know, people think history will repeat itself. I'm going, it doesn't have to be that way. You know,
it doesn't. It rhymes, perhaps, but it doesn't have to absolutely repeat. We can, who was it? Santayana said, if we don't learn from history, we're doomed to repeat it.
That's good.
They don't teach history, political science, or civics in the classroom
anymore.
Oh, it's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. It's our critical thinking, and there are some very bright people that are talking about this. They're talking about it loud and clear, how we need to change the public schools and reintroduce those profoundly important subjects that are probably more important than the technology that is being taught. Because without human development and healthy psychology, and healthy societies, none of this, all this technology will wind up being used for ill rather than for good.
Exactly. I mean, that's really important. The other thing is things like food, the food quality, things like that are ridiculous, you know, what we're doing to one another with food. But I don't want to go off of your subject because I want you to teach us about more about astrology and what, how can we get in step with these evolutionary things by understanding the astrological influences, you know?
Well, you really have to. There's some wonderful astrologers out there in our society today writing books, and they have websites. I have a website newsletter called Soothsayer, SOOTHESAYER.com, or you can get to me by saying Linda Sherman Astrologer and Googling me. You can get, I have a free online website newsletter every month.
And it's so good.
And what we do as astrologers is we look, what do these planetary pictures tell us as they move through the ancient signs of the zodiac and into the various mathematical angles with one another? What do they tell us about trends and subjects that are going to come up in human history and the conflicts or the doors opening in any direction that this symbolizes? Because astrology symbolizes what we are destined to experience, but it doesn't tell us how we're going to deal with it.
Mm.
That is where there's a wonderful thing about us, is that we can make a choice, and we can make a whole series of choices. The last book I co-authored with Rich Spitzer, who is a data analyst from Wall Street, in a sense, in the financial area, is our choice, extinction or evolution. And I believe that we're at that point, and the stars are telling us this, the planetary transits are telling us this, that we have the opportunity to make leap forward, not just in technology alone, not just AI and launching spaceships to Mars, or not just the technological part, but the psychological and spiritual leap in wisdom and understanding that has to come with this. This is what astrology discusses. This is what astrologers talk about in your own individual chart. What things are being presented to you in your life, and how could you manage if they're difficult? How could you manage that difficulty? How could you work it through? If there are opportunities coming up, are you going to jump on that, or are you going to let that just walk by you? Because always we in the astrological community respect the ability of each individual to make his or her choices and decisions. We give them information that we feel is very valuable about it, and then each person makes his or her own choice.
And let me ask you a very simplistic question. You might laugh at me because I'm never quite sure I understand enough about astrology at all. But if we have a transit, is that transit often a great time for me, for example, to make a huge change in how I've been thinking or aiming my life? Is that too simplistic?
Absolutely. It's not. That's not simplistic at all. In a sense, it's, say you have a transit of Uranus in your life, and say down in your fourth house of home, property, family, Uranus, which is tremendous change and dramatic transformations in consciousness, new technologies, leaps forward. You may, and it's well, what we call well aspected, or it makes harmonious aspects to other parts of your chart, you may decide to move at that point.
Oh,
and you may start to do something different, live in a different way with having your home in a different setting. And dealing with that portion of your life, wherever, say, the transit of Uranus goes, we're really, really changed, and usually quite suddenly, very often almost impulsively, that transit brings about change. Each of these, particularly the slow-moving planets, Pluto, Neptune, and Uranus, when they go, they spend quite a bit of time in a certain area of your astrological chart, and they make angles with your natal or progressed planets, which we call aspects, which tell me whether that's a harmonious or supportive aspect or whether it's a stressful or conflicting aspect. For instance, just taking that, if Uranus is in your fourth house and making a stress aspect. You might have trouble with the wiring, the electricity, your computers, your cell phone, and everything that is considered to be electronic and technological because it squares something. So things have to be fixed or repaired. If you have a harmonious trine in that area, you may be moving to a better place or upgrading your technology and the systems that you have to work with and come up with new and exciting ideas. So it's not just the transit itself, it's how it relates to the mathematical angles of the planets in the rest of your chart that gives us the information that we need.
I love that, actually. I didn't want to bring you down just to the simplistic stuff, but sometimes it helps us to kind of refine what we think we know and what can create changes in people's lives, because they're always asking about that, aren't they?
Yes, and look, we experience throughout our lives change, mm-hmm. always. It just keeps going.
And we want that.
And the whole thing. Mm-hmm. You know, the great architect and inventor and sociologist Buckminster Fuller once said, "I am a verb." I think that was the most wonderful statement. We are constantly changing and moving. We are in motion. And your question is, if you're in motion, you're going to go in any number of different directions. So what direction are you going to point yourself in? You're an in-motion individual. We all are. So we hope to point ourselves in the direction of growth and wisdom and understanding as opposed to crashing into walls.
Well, let me ask you this on a massive level, and I'll go back to Uranus because you were using that, but are we as a species being affected by a massive change because we have a shared aspect or some shared aspects?
Oh, yes. All of us are going through these, where these slow-moving transits are.
Okay.
These big, heavy planets, Pluto, Neptune, Uranus, these heavy planets. All of us on Earth are experiencing this. It's how we are experiencing what area of our lives is the most highlighted in all of this. But we are all going through this together, which is why we need to make an effort to communicate with each other and decide how we're going to hold hands and help each other and develop new notions and ideas about how to support our lives, all life on mm-hmm. Earth.
Like with global warming, we need to learn something altogether, do we not?
We absolutely do. And, you know, these warmings and severe coolings have taken place in the past without any fossil fuels being mm-hmm. involved, without
well, that's
any
true,
human
yeah.
intervention. And one of the things that is interesting that I pointed out recently in a newsletter is that astrologically speaking alone, if we had no global warming due to the fossil fuel buildup, we would be going through a global cooling. And it's interesting, just the other day, I read an article in an astronomy publication that said, you know, we have the stratosphere, and there's another sphere that encircles the Earth, and I forget what it's called, the ionosphere or something. You have to pardon my ignorance, but there is a sphere that has suddenly gotten very cold. And it was Pluto goes into Aquarius. I mean, the last time Pluto was in Capricorn and Aquarius, we were in a mini ice age.
Oh, my.
So that I normally, astrologically speaking, if humans hadn't interfered with anything, we would be going through a cooling period.
Hmm.
And what is going to be interesting is that report, they were worried about that. That cold, that freezing area around the outer ring, and then you have this inner ring of our environment that is heating up dramatically. Now, usually what happens when heat and cold come together is massive storms take place. So I am wondering whether the outcome of this isn't going to be an increase, which we have seen in huge, huge tornadoes and hurricanes and cyclones and mm-hmm. And things mm-hmm. of that nature while this goes on. And we don't have all the answers, but I have said for a number of years now, it's interesting because we're in a global long-term cooling cycle, and yet we are dramatically warming because of human-produced greenhouse gases. So we have two very contradictory things at work here, and I don't think anybody knows how it's going to come out.
That's really interesting. And we have storms in the Baja right now and tornadoes and so on. Things are totally backwards, I'd say. Things are upside down.
We haven't had a storm that has come up on the West Coast from Mexico up into, is coming into California, like a tornado, what they call a cyclone on the West Coast, is coming up the coast now. And that hasn't happened like I think it was 1939 was the last time something like this happened on the West Coast. These odd, weird things that no one has seen in recent history are occurring. There's no question about it.
But you're saying that they could come from disturbances in the universe, but in this case they probably are from disturbances in the way we're using fossil fuels and so on, right?
Well, I think it's both.
Yeah.
I think it's both because the planets would suggest storms or disturbances, but not necessarily of this magnitude or this frequency.
Okay.
The magnitude and frequency is probably produced by human climate pollution.
And unfortunately, I have to say goodbye, but you always get me thinking, and I'm going, wow. We have to get your connection name and number for everybody who wants to get their own chart done and see what's transit for you, or how are you going to deal with, what kind of consciousness are you going to use to deal with the stuff that's up and coming? Is that a good question to ask?
Yeah, absolutely. If you want a private reading from me, my phone number here in New York State is 856-874-1651. And my email, which is a great way to get in touch with me, is soothsayer, SOOTHESAYER, @ USA.net. And I've already given you my online newsletter, which has all my contacts on it, by the way.
And I love that you are a soothsayer. I love the name.
I'm a sayer of soothe.
Yeah. And that in itself is soothing because we're not stuck in the mystery all the time.
I hope so.
But Linda Sherman, I just love you, and I'm so glad to talk to you. Thank you so much for being a paradigm shifter. Yeah. My pleasure.
Thank you for having me on your show. I'm honored to be on your show.
And I'm sorry that we took so long to get on this because of so many interruptions by everything that's interrupting your chart, my chart, and other people's chart as well, right?
Yes, and soon maybe we'll get the technology straightened out. We'll get the technology straightened out, and I'll talk to you about that, and maybe next time we can go on Zoom together.
I'd love that. This is also fun for us to learn our way through. Just like everybody else, we keep going through all these changes, don't we?
Yes.
All right. Well, much love to you. Thank you so much,
love
Linda.
Love to you, Veronica. Thank you so much.
Take care. Okay. Bye.